Welcome to worship with First Presbyterian Church of Bend. We practice what we call a spacious Christianity, where there's room for everyone, and we mean everyone. No matter where you find yourself on the faith journey, even if you find yourself without faith, you are so very welcome here. We welcome your questions and doubts and see them as gifts that invite us into deeper conversations. We celebrate diversity and believe it's a strength. And we remind you every single week that you are made in the image of God's goodness and that you are so very loved. You know, we do our best to live the spacious and radical love of Jesus so that all might have a chance to flourish in this world. As we try our best to practice a spacious Christianity, we hope here that you can find space to breathe, a faith you can believe in, and a God who believes in you. We're so very glad to worship with you in this way, but if you find yourself in the area on Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m. or 10 a.m., we'd love to have the chance to greet you in person. Take a deep breath and know that whether you're sitting on the couch, at your desk, in bed, maybe even washing dishes, the presence of God's love is as close to you as your own breath. And it's my prayer today that you might become aware and experience the presence of that love in a new way through our worship. Because when that happens, it changes the way we are present in the world. Welcome.
You give God of friendship, I come to know your love and care through the embodied presence of others. Weave me together with kindred spirits. Knit me more closely with friends of the soul. Cultivate in me a kinship with humanity, so that I recognize my struggles and joys in others. In my loneliness, reveal to me this communion, and may I be a solace to others who ache for connection. Transform me through conversation and loving presence. Help me to see how I am part of a great circle of pilgrims, witnesses, ancestors, and mystics who guide me to true connection with you. Gather me into your great wide heart so I might discover I am never separate, but always held in love.
We're growing as a church, but our denomination, the Presbyterian Church USA, has experienced a 50% decline in membership in the last 30 years. 7 out of 10 Americans today say that they can have a relationship with God and grow spiritually without ever being part of a community of faith. I mean, more and more people are saying they are spiritual, but not religious. The fastest growing religious group in the country is the group called the Nones, not N-U-N, but N-O-N-E-S, that claim no religious affiliation. I mean, people often tell me that they feel closer to God in nature than anywhere else. I get that. I too frequently have a deep, deep sense of the sacred when I'm in nature. You know, it's easy to experience the sacred in nature. It's a lot harder to encounter God, to encounter the holy in the person sitting next to you in the pew, whose theology and politics are different than yours, who perhaps comes from a different economic background, or someone whose race, sexual orientation, gender identity is different than yours. It's easy to see and encounter God in nature. It's a whole lot harder to see the image of God in the loud, belligerent person with terrible body odor who's standing beside you singing the same hymn, but in a totally different key. Learning to be in community with others that you have not necessarily chosen to be part of your community, is really, really hard work. But maybe that hard work of learning to see, encounter the holy, love one another, is the very thing that has a chance to heal this broken, despairing, divided world of ours. Civil rights leader Ruby Sales said, "Transformation doesn't happen in headspace where we share on a superficial level our opinions and offer our judgments from a safe distance. Transformation happens in heart space, where we risk getting close enough to connect and see our shared humanity in the other person. And we say, tell me your story. Where does it hurt for you? The idea that a community of faith is not important and that you can do spirituality on your own is actually a radical departure from the spiritual path that God has in mind for us. If we look at the biblical account of creation, God calls everything good except one thing. God identifies one problem in creation that God is determined to repair. What is it? In Genesis 2:18, God says, "It is not right for a human being to be alone." It's not right for anyone to have dreams, tears, or fears that no one else cares
cares about or is willing to share. It's not right for people to eat every meal by themselves or languish in an assisted living facility without visitors. It's not right for anyone to feel judged, excluded, isolated, unwelcome. It's not right for someone to be without helping hands in times of trouble. It's not right to feel invisible, to not feel seen, heard, valued. It's not right for a person to have no one with whom they can truly be themselves. It's not right to have no one to share a deep, wonderful belly laugh with. It's not right to have no one who's willing to sit with you in the darkness. God says, it's not right for the human being to be alone. We're created to be in relationship. We're created to be in community. The very defining nature of the human soul is how we are connected to the life of other souls. Now, Jesus realized the faith journey is not a solo adventure. If you read the Gospels, when Jesus invites people to follow him, he never once invited individuals on their own. Jesus always called people in twos and threes. Jesus called people not just into a life of faith, but into a life of faith lived in community. You know, it's funny how, because of our smartphones, we've never been more connected, at least electronically. And at the same time, we've never been more disconnected, divided as a larger community. America is fractured and living in a quiet crisis of disconnection. 54% of Americans say that no one knows them really well. As Ruby Wells said, 54% of Americans would say that they may share headspace with many people, sharing opinions about politics, sports, the weather. But few, if any, risk getting close enough to share heart space, or someone risk getting close enough to them to hear their stories. The number of people who say they have no close personal friends has quadrupled in the past two decades. Over 60% of adults in the United States report feeling lonely. I was actually surprised to read that young adults aged 18 to 22 are the loneliest age group. The Surgeon General said, loneliness is as harmful to your health as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. One in five Americans say they have nobody to talk about important matters. No one who's there to really talk about the things that really are worth talking about. Dan McAdams teaches at Northwestern University, and he studies how people narrate their life stories. And he invites research subjects into his office, and over a four-hour period, he asks them to tell him about their low points, their high points, their turning points in their lives. And he says every single person at some point in telling this story begins to cry. And when the time is over, he hands them a check to compensate for the time that they have given him. And he said almost everyone tries to hand the check back, saying, "This has been one of the best afternoons of my life." No one's ever asked me about my life story before. We all have a deep need to connect, a deep need to connect in heart space. God says, it's not right for a human being to be alone, to not feel seen, to feel disconnected. So God calls us into community, into relationship, as hard as it can be. as hard as it can be, a commitment to do the hard work of being in community, learning how to see, hear, and love one another, just may be the best gift we can give to the world right now. What would it be like if you took the time and the risk to get to know someone else? Someone you don't know and someone perhaps you perceive maybe is lonely. What would it look like if you took the risk to let yourself be known? This week marks the 18th anniversary of me serving as the lead pastor here at First Presbyterian. You know, I thought about getting t-shirts that would say, "I survived 18 years of Stephen Kosky." It's no small feat. I don't want to celebrate me. I want to celebrate and speak to the extraordinary, messy, beautiful, imperfect, spacious, gritty, grace-filled community called First Pres. A community that has changed my life. I want to celebrate the unique gifts and challenges that each person brings to this community and to my life. I want to celebrate the ways that this community has tolerated me when I've said, "Hey, I have an idea." I want to celebrate that you have forgiven me when I have failed you or let you down, which has been often. I want to celebrate that you have given me the space to be me, warts and all. I want to celebrate that you have disagreed with me and you've been willing to stay in the dialogue. I want to celebrate that you've been willing to live in the spaciousness of the questions and not demanded answers. I want to celebrate that you've given me space just to be human, to be vulnerable, that you've given me the space to express my grief, and you have allowed me to cry with you. I want to celebrate that you were there for me and my family with an abundance of grace in our scariest moments. I want to celebrate that you have mostly laughed with me and not at me. I want to celebrate that you have made me feel valued and valuable. You know, those are two needs that every human being has: to feel valued and valuable. I truly believe that one of the reasons there was always a crowd of people around Jesus, always people wanted to get near Jesus, because people felt seen and valued in his presence. I want to celebrate most of all the way I have witnessed you love others. I was speaking to one of our homeless guests who stayed with us when we opened as a warming shelter a couple of weeks ago when it was freezing. And he said, I felt seen here. I didn't feel invisible. Naomi Tutu, daughter of Desmond Tutu, said, "To love is to see. To be loved is to be seen." I haven't been thinking this past week what may or may not have been accomplished at First Pres over the past 18 years. I've been thinking this week what a gift it has been to be in community with those who consider First Pres their base camp. It hasn't always been easy. Sometimes it's been really painful. But even in the hard places, I've encountered the holy, sacred, and healing presence of God's love in and through this community. I feel the deepest, most spacious, and life-giving connection with God right now than I have ever felt in my life. And much of that is because of belonging to this community and the gifts and the quirkiness and the unique stories and beautiful souls that are part of this community. Yeah, we're a church. We're far from perfect. I know you might think you don't need others to have a relationship with God, or you might prefer to encounter God in nature. But let me tell you, there's something holy, there's something beautiful and life-changing about this strange community called First Pres. And today I just want to say how deeply grateful I am that God has called me into this community. It's not right for a human being to be alone. You know, so much trauma, pain, and isolation, and loneliness, disconnection in our world right now. You know, neuroscientists have found that the part of the brain that is most impacted by life's trauma actually begins to heal when we find a community that is a safe place to land and a safe place to weep and tell our story. It turns out that connection and community heals our hearts and our brains. And I want to finish by sharing a picture. Tobias Baumgartner took this picture of two penguins comforting each other in Melbourne, Australia, watching the dancing lights of the city together. The white penguin is an elderly female who was widowed and alone. The darker penguin is a much younger male who had also lost his partner and was alone. And apparently these two penguins would meet regularly to watch the dancing lights of the city together, comforting each other in their grief. This is the world I want to live in. This is the world we can create together. It's not right for anyone to be alone. May it be so.
And although this wave is stringing us along, and just know you're not alone, 'cause I'm gonna make this place your home. Settle down, it'll all be clear. Don't pay the trouble it might drag you down. If you get lost, you can always be found. Just know you're not alone, 'cause I'm gonna make this place your home.
Friends, it is not right for human beings to be alone. Robert Fulghum, in his book, All I Really Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten, said this: it's still true, no matter how old you are, When you go out into the world, watch out for traffic. Hold hands. Stick together. Friends, look for someone needing a hand to hold on to. And maybe if you find yourself alone, take the risk to reach out your hand. Go in the peace and the love of Christ. And may the love you bring into this world create connections and bring peace to others. Amen. Friends, we sincerely hope you found this broadcast and worship meaningful. Please help us make it possible to reach others with the important message of A Spacious Christianity. First Presbyterian seeks to serve Jesus by serving the needs of others, showing up in our community and the world when and where love and compassion are needed the most. Your generosity helps us to be generous in love and offer hope at a time when hope is in short supply for so many. Financial gifts, large and small, make a huge difference in helping us continue these broadcasts and helping us continue to serve the needs of others in our community and the world. You can give online at bendfp.org. You can use the QR code on your screen or mail a check to the church. We hope to see you again, and please reach out if we can support you in any way. Until the next time, may God bless you, and may you be a blessing to others.